It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
All right, guys, the NBA playoffs are finally here. And as the games get better and the intensity ratchets up, I tell you to go to our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Use my promo code DCTV, bet only $5, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. All of your favorite teams that competed through the season now get the chance to compete on the grandest stage, the play-ins, the playoffs, all the way to the conference finals and the NBA finals. It is going to be bananas. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app. Sign up using my promo code. Get your bonus bets right away. NBA playoffs is the best time of the year for the sport of basketball, and I'm here for it. So go to the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, where the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Funky and the Champ. It's been a while since we got Ben Askren on. Ben, what's up, baby? How you been, man? Hey, guys, let me tell you something. The negotiations were very, very difficult. Askren, the negotiations got very difficult for Funky Ben. What's up, Ben?
It's wrestling season. It's busy. You know, we had the NCAAs. We had the Last Chance Qualifier. We had the P&L. We got Olympic trials this weekend. We got the U.S. Open next weekend. It is it's a very busy time of year.
I feel like I jinxed Keegan O'Toole. I kept calling him pound for pound. I kept boasting. And then now he's not wrestling the Olympic trials. Dang, dog, that kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. You know, him and David Carr, they had a really good match. Even when he beat him at conference, it's like David Carr is really, really good. And then, you know, Mitchell, David Carr is kind of our kryptonite at this point because he beat Mitchell in the finals and also a very competitive match. You know, and David Carr finished his college career as really kind of an all-time great. Two titles, a second and a third.
Yeah, he was good. He was really
very good.
Yeah, so, but it was fun. NCAA tournament, it was fun. The fans were great. It was awesome. But Ben, UFC 300 was last weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk to you about something that happened in the fight that no one has kind of spoken about. So, I know Jamal Hill, right? Jamal Hill and I are buddies. Yeah. Jamal Hill is never going to make an excuse for losing a fight or anything thing that happened in the fight.
Yes.
Jamal Hill and I had a conversation yesterday. Okay. And we're talking about the fight and how it played out. Jamal says to me, what did you see, OG? I told him what I thought. And then we kind of went back and we watched the fight a little bit and kind of talked through it. And I saw some things a little differently after watching it with him. He spoke about foot placement as a southpaw fight and the conventional fighter, the range and everything else. Here's where the issue, and I thought, okay, I don't know. You know, Jamal's going through the process of losing. Let's see what happens. But then I run it by my cousins and my nephews, and my nephew had the same idea. They thought that Herb Dean made a mistake, Ben, because while we are all lost in the idea of Herb goes to step in, Alex puts his hand out, Herb steps back.
Yeah.
When you have an illegal strike, they are saying that they should have been separated, and then they come back together as a fresh restart. It didn't happen. Very short time later, Alex landed the shot that put Jamal down.
Seconds.
And knocked him out. I mean, seconds after what should have been a restart.
I don't hate it not being a restart. So it wasn't like Jamal was the one that got illegally kicked.
And that was one of the arguments. Yeah. It was like, well, Jamal wasn't the one that took the illegal blow. It was Alex that took the illegal blow.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a side in this deal.
Okay.
I'm just asking you what you make of that, the idea of generally when an illegal strike happens, they separate the athletes, they come back together, and then the fight restarts, wherein in that moment, it felt like Alex had said, I've got my timing, I've got my foot placement. Yeah. He went and landed, but they feel like they were much closer than they should have been.
Oh, man, I feel like that's something where, you know, one of the first things they tell you when you step in the cage, Daniel, is protect yourself at all times.
And that's what he said.
Protect yourself at all times. And if the fight is happening, the fight is happening. I don't know. I thought Herb never got that close to being in between them. Like, he made a motion and then Pereira waved him off and he stepped back, which was – that was sick, right? That did that.
That was crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, and I guess just my general feeling on that fight was that I thought Jamal Hill was a little too confident, you know, saying he was going to stand with him. And I think science should study Pereira, because how did this man hit that hard? I want some more info on you saw the clip all week where he's hitting the punching device that Ngannou hit, and he breaks his record by like 30% or something preposterous. So I wanna see like multiple people hit that multiple times. Like, you know, it's like, can they get the same number like 10 times in a row or something? Or, you know, like, have you hit it? Like, what was your number compared to
that? Never hit it. If I hit it, it would be embarrassing. I punch hard.
Why? If Ngannou was the other highest puncher, why is Pereira able to hit this hard? Why is he 30% above Ngannou? Is it like a one-time thing? Because that feels like it doesn't make sense. But then also you see him, and when he hits people, they fall down. And that's what Jamal Hill should have been a little more worried about. I feel like he was too confident. I feel like he disregarded how hard that Pereira hits.
Do you think that there may be some underlying reasons why Jamal was not willing to unwilling to wrestle? I mean, he did come off an Achilles surgery, so maybe he wasn't capable, maybe he wasn't able to employ that as a strategy. So he was essentially stuck in there doing all he was able to do.
Yeah. I feel like, honestly, hopefully your buddy doesn't get too mad at you for this. My feeling, ego. Ego, right? Ego gets involved with those fighters, and he thought everyone is saying, hey, Jamal, Pereira's a better stand-up fighter. He's gonna put you down. And he said, No, it's not gonna happen. And we talked about when he like caught the air and broke it, you know, he's kind of
was it not theater? Did you not love that? I mean,
no, it was funny. Yeah, it was funny.
Pereira's
for sure.
Walking to the ring doing this thing. Jamal is standing at the entrance.
Yeah.
Pereira, I cannot say Pereira because that's how Chael says it. Pereira gives him the bowl. Jamal catches it, breaks it, and tells him to come on. I mean, it was theater, Ben.
It was funny.
But can I ask you this, though?
Sure, yeah.
Was it too much? Was it Jamal doing so much to try to show he wasn't afraid of him? Like, I'm not scared of you, and I'm going to let everybody know through my actions before the fight starts that I'm not afraid of you.
That's ego, right? That's ego speaking. So yeah, I did think that kind of maybe put him in harm's way. The one funny video that was funny, there was some fan taunting Jamal doing the Pereira thing, you know.
Dude, that was crazy.
And Jamal goes, bang. I thought that was kind of funny.
Jamal goes, you've been doing this shit for days, bro. Like, I see you every day, and you're doing the same shit to me. Like, what is that?
Listen, I'm gonna give the fighters advice, and this is not legal advice, but if some of these kids are tournaments, if they come up to me and start talking trash, I just put them down, Daniel.
What do you mean?
I don't hurt them. I'll just grab them, foot sweep them, throw them on the ground, and say, "Listen,
man, you can't hit children."
I don't hurt them, but I let them know. I let them know I'm the boss. Don't come at me with that nonsense. So you think Jamal
should have went and got the dude? The dude that's
I think he should have put him down very, very gently. He doesn't hurt him. He should have put him down, and he should have said, listen, if you keep following me, there's more where that came from. I'm not going to hurt you too bad. I'm going to hurt you a little bit, just a tiny bit, just so we know this behavior that you're putting out here is totally unacceptable.
Ben, but why though, Ben? Why is more?
Because you gotta keep people in check in life.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't throw children down. But
no, not hard. You don't hurt them. You just let them know.
Or you
know
some of these high school kids,
bro. You hang out. You coach high school wrestling. You know what I'm talking about. They're a little crazy. You know, so they come up. They
yeah, like the Marisola twins about to get their asses kicked if they keep sending me videos.
They would deserve
them dudes out of control, dog. They keep sending me videos. Marisola twins need to leave me alone.
I might cause that. That might be my fault. But you know, I'll give you a good one. You could do it. They say something quick. You just give them a little snap down, and then you just put your hand on their chin. You just choke them a little bit so they know. Just so they know, keep it up, and there will be consequences.
Could you imagine if Jamal Hill went
that would have been so awesome.
To that guy on the biggest fight weekend in UFC history because he's annoyed by him? He's cutting weight. Jamal's cutting weight. He's been hurt.
Put him
he's
down.
Had the biggest fight of his life, and this dude's just in his face doing this little step and dance thing like, he would have been within his right, but he can't. But I gotta ask that.
If you don't hurt him, don't hurt him.
They pretend.
Yo, Armand put that dude out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that guy would pretend to be hurt. That guy would have pretended to be hurt, Ben. He would have pretended to be hurt to get Jamal's money. But
oh my god.
Let me ask you this though.
Yeah.
Why is more not being made of that though? Like, look. We have seen this. Look, I love Herb Dean. I think he's the best in the business. But we have seen this, right? You remember one time, Cain Velasquez was beating on Junior Dos Santos. Herb went in there and touched Cain and then backed up. Cain was, like, finishing. He thought Junior was done, but Junior wasn't done. He touched him. He backed up. There's been many instances where officials kind of get themselves involved, and then they kind of change their mind. Well, they're all human.
They're also not being made of that.
Especially when it... And guys, Alex and I like Alex Pereira. I think his story is tremendous. I think this man is the guy. But why is more not being made, Ben, about the fact that 5 seconds later, Ben?
I don't see the issue here. I mean,
Jamal thinks, and again, he's working through losing the fight and everything else.
Yeah.
But when I rewatched. And Southpaw Conventional, it's very important that the foot, right?
Foot stays on the outside.
Always.
Yes.
For the most part, Jamal was controlling the outside with his foot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they broke, Alex took position.
Yes.
When you rewatch it, left hand lands, knocks him down, Ben. So, I mean, I'm not trying to play a conspiracy theory here.
I think you are. I think you're trying to get this ruled like a no contest or something.
I have no horse in the race. No,
you
no,
might
no.
You might buy Jamal's lawyer and get it in should, Vegas. No contest.
It should not be a no contest. It should not. Pereira won the fight.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, there's got to be something to it, right? This dude is not this dude.
I don't know. No, I say defend yourself at all times. And what I would say to defend the referees on this is, they're not perfect. They see something that looks like it, you know, like, so you, it looks like you hit him in the nuts.
Well, you can hear it. You can hear it.
Yeah, but also sometimes a lot of those cups are hard, and sometimes it just doesn't hit in the right way. It just, you know, there's times where it can hurt, and there's also times where it just clips off the side, you know, it doesn't hurt that bad. So, you know, if like it didn't hurt, it doesn't hit in the nuts, then it's like, well, let's keep fighting, you know, and I think there was another instance with an eye poke. I'm trying to remember which fight it was, an eye poke where, you know, he said, no, I'm fine. I want to keep going. Oh, you know, it was Armand Oliveira where he wanted to continue fighting on the ground and they made him stop. Yep. And it's like, I don't feel like they should have done that. He should have said like, oh, no. It was, you know, what is an eye poke? It was, he kicked him. He kicked the down opponent. That's what
he
it was.
He kicked the down opponent. Yeah. But the ref still went in. The ref stopped it.
But I don't think he should have.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if Armand is the one that got fouled, right? He got fouled. He should have said, he did say, I'm fine. I want to keep fighting. And if he says, I'm fine, I want to keep fighting, let him keep fighting.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm not. Look, dude, I swear to God, I don't want this to come off the wrong way. Like, I'm not saying that anything should be done in retrospect. I'm just saying this man really believes that in those instances, that's what should happen. And when I see other people saying the same thing, I'm like, oh, but we kind of just skimmed over it because we were lost in the fact that Alex did some cool shit. He just went, nope, wait, I got this.
I think I would see your argument if Jamal was the one that got hit low.
Yes.
Right? And that's when I would see your argument. But that, if it's Alex.
No. It's not an argument. Ben, I'm not making an argument.
I don't know. I'm not making an argument.
I'm stating something that, honestly, Jamal can't say it. Because if he says it, it's sour grapes, right?
Yeah, of course.
He can't say it. But someone else can raise the question, is this something we should have paid more attention to in that moment? Do you feel, though, watching it, that it would have changed the outcome? I don't know.
I bet on my verdict app, you guys can go fact check me here. I bet Pereira first round TKO KO. I thought Jamal was too confident, overconfident, because, and I say this in wrestling and fighting, when your opponent has a level of danger, you need to respect that level of danger. And if you don't, then bad things can happen. And so I thought that was the case with Jamal. Alex is very dangerous. There's probably specific ways you should fight him. And he was kind of, maybe it was the ego that got involved that said, no, I can go beat this guy up on our feet. And then it wasn't going to work out, I don't think.
Isn't it nuts that Pereira is doing this? And Ben, I told us to chill yesterday. He can't wrestle. How in the world can you be this and you can't wrestle? I love the guy. He always does interviews with me. He's so cool. We have a great relationship. But it's like, he can't wrestle.
Well, there's no wrestlers there anymore.
What?
There's no wrestlers at UFC.
Ankalaev is.
He's all right.
Ankalaev is a wrestler. But you know what's scary is that, and Chael said this, he goes, his best days are still ahead of him. Because he can only get better in the areas that he isn't good at. It's not like he's a complete fighter yet.
Am I wrong on that?
What?
How old is he? 36?
Yeah, but he's older. He's older. But I'm saying he still has to get better in those areas. Imagine when he continues to improve. He's not even like a full mixed martial arts yet. I mean, Izzy took him down.
There's not one what I would call, you say Ankalaev, I say fair. You can have him. But besides that, there's not one elite wrestler in the top 15 at light heavyweight right now.
There's not one. So you're telling me there's no wrestlers in the top 15?
Listen, they may have wrestled a little bit. I'm not certain. There's none of these guys who have elite. And I don't think Ankalaev has elite credentials in wrestling.
No. He's a Sambo guy. And you and I both know that Sambo lends itself very well to mixed martial arts and wrestling in mixed martial arts. So it's not something that I would take for granted. But UFC 300 was more than just that. Ben, like Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway had the best fight of the year. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if it was the best fight of the year.
Yeah.
Because
I felt like
Max was winning the vast majority of the fight. I think the lasting memory is the fact that they fought like that for the last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But what did you make of that one? And what was your reaction? Because I got a lot of shit for me kind of putting my hand on my head like this, but it kind of, to me, was like when that little boy from Home Alone realized his parents were gone and he was like yelled and he screamed and he grabbed his head, because I had a real oh shit moment. What was your reaction when you saw that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that was a tremendous ending. What a legendary finish. I thought Gaethje, I picked Gaethje in this one. I just thought he was going to kind of be too big, too strong, but you know what it was, Max was just too long and too fast. He was moving. He was quick. He stuck him. I don't want to say he was unhittable, but Justin was not connecting a lot on him. He was landing leg kicks, but as far as his punches, they weren't connecting a lot. So Max had an incredibly impressive performance.
Max fought as good as I've ever seen him fight.
Yes.
And it feels like he opened the world up for himself afterwards. So yeah. They panned to Ilya Topuria. And my phone's flooded with messages of Ilya scared. Did you see his face when they went to Topuria after Max Holloway got that victory?
Yeah, I don't know if fear is the emotion that registers with me. I don't know. How did you feel?
What the are you guys talking about? He's not afraid of anybody. He's a fucking killer. Okay.
Yeah, but that's how I feel.
That exactly right. But like, yes. I don't understand why. Why do people search for these words that make no sense? Like Ilya Topuria is scared, but he's the UFC world champion and he's undefeated. Yeah. What in the world scares that man, Ben? Does anything?
Yeah, I mean, no. Yeah, I think everyone has fear, but I didn't see it in that moment. I think that's the fight I would make if I was Dana. I would make Holloway and Topuria, put in a big stadium somewhere in
the Santiago Bernabeu.
Yeah, I don't know. They said it's huge. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think they should do it.
You want to go watch a soccer game there? You and I?
I don't like soccer. I'll go hang out with you, Daniel, but I don't want to watch soccer. Can we watch a wrestling match?
Why?
It's boring. They just kick the ball around. I don't give a damn. Let's fight or watch some wrestling or something.
You're so stupid.
Bullfight. Let's watch a bullfight. How about that?
No, dude. We got to go watch Real Madrid play in the Bernabeu, and then we'd be like on. You would fall in love with the sport if you did that. I promise you. You might think you like it more than wrestling.
No, hey, no, you're crazy.
How big of a moment was that back kick that broke Gaethje's nose? Like, do you think that really did change the way the fight looked?
Yeah, so I want to say it was impactful, but then the other thing I think is, but Max looked really, really, really good in round one, right? And like, he was kind of, he was just, it felt like too long and too fast. His punches were just coming very quickly and Gaethje wasn't able to evade them. And so that kind of feels like it was what happened almost the rest of the fight. And so maybe it had an impact because it was a hard shot. It did hurt Justin's nose, but I feel like it was similar performances before and after.
You know, when you watch a guy like Justin Gaethje give you all those fights that he's given.
Yeah.
And he goes down like that, like, the thought that crosses your mind is, you know that at some point it has to happen, right? Like when you, it's almost like touching the fire, and eventually you're going to get burned. Yeah. But it is kind of like jarring to watch that guy that has done that to so many times get it done to him when you know, you honestly know it'll happen. Even when Charles Oliveira was the champion and he would get dropped every time, you're like, this dude's going to eventually get knocked out or lose. But we better enjoy it while it's happening because it's going to be fun. Does Justin Gaethje ever look like himself going back from this? Because when you get knocked out in that manner, it really can change you.
Yeah, and I want to say he's getting – I'm going to look it up, but I want to say he is getting older also. 35, so that's not super old, but, you know, there is obviously a statistic about ages 35 and over, middle, what's it? Well, welterweight and under, I think, where they just don't have as much success.
They're so fast and good.
Yeah, I think he's still going to be effective for a few more years. I think this does kind of ruin his title shot. He would have to work his way back into a title shot, maybe, you know, one or two more wins. It's possible. I don't know if I would say it's likely at this point.
You know, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking about this about Jamal and Justin. When someone told me, they said, when I got knocked out, I was so happy that I was on my stomach, right? Because you can't see your face. Justin was like on his stomach. Like Justin was on his stomach. Jamal was on his back. So you get the whole face. Like that shit is bad. But when you get knocked out, right, you lose a little part of yourself in the octagon. For you personally, you when you got knocked out, yes. Yeah. Do you feel like you had the same confidence and belief in your toughness after the knockout, or were you a little worried that maybe the chin had been dinged and you lose some of that durability?
Well, I only had one more mixed martial arts fight, and that was Damian Maia, and he obviously doesn't have a lot of power, and so I was not concerned about getting TKO'd. I don't think I did not land with my face down. So, but you know, I'm really good looking, so it doesn't matter. And you know, Masvidal, he took two shots while I was unconscious, but, you know, he doesn't hit very hard. So I didn't even feel those when I woke up.
Well, you didn't feel it because you don't feel nothing when you're
You know, but you know, it wasn't even a bruise or nothing.
Just, I didn't feel anything. I just felt my body not responding and my mind saying, get the fuck up. But like my body wouldn't do it. It's like I was trying to push up off the ground, but it's like my body wasn't like responding. So I was almost like out, but not out, like out sleeping. Yeah. Like, but I could like see myself like get up and I could feel him over me hitting me.
Yeah.
But I just, my body would just not respond to what I was telling it to do.
So I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Cause obviously for a lot of fighters, that's kind of the beginning of the end. If they get TKO'd or KO'd that first time and then it's a downhill, but we've also seen other people. Who am I thinking of? There's a heavyweight who got knocked out a few times. Then he kind of like came back and had like a really good portion of his career.
Well, you remember Arlovski used to get knocked out all the time.
Arlovski, that's what it was. That's what I was
trying to think of. And now he's like doing good. He's like in his 40s. But even Bobby Green, right? Last weekend, Bobby Green, he got knocked out bad by Jalen Turner in Austin. Yep. But then last weekend, he fought one of the best fights. But it's like, I think that you have to be of a certain mentality for that to like be your reality when you come back. And I think that Justin Gaethje is of that mentality.
Yes.
Where I don't know that it'll be lasting memories or lasting effects on. I spoke to him the day after and he told me he's in good spirits. And the way that these athletes look at the fight game, nuts. Because they just go, hey man, it's the game we play. You win some, you lose some. I used to actually just like almost like lock myself away when I would lose. Black curtains, crying all day long, in my room, never come out. I actually,
how many days?
A month, bro.
A month, stop.
A month. Swear it. And bro, I actually was able to binge watch Game of Thrones season 1 through 4 after I got beat by Jon Jones the second time.
That's healthy.
I was so sad, bro. But I think I did it because I wanted to make sure that I never put myself in that position again. I was like, I'm going to make this hurt so badly that I don't want to come back to this place because it's the only place that I know how to recover from it. And then by the time I was back, I was more motivated. I was refreshed. I was like ready to like turn the page, but I always mourned a loss. I think to me personally, Ben, when a fighter loses and goes back to the back and they immediately start posting to social media, I don't necessarily like that. I think that they're looking for people to tell them that, You're the champion. We love you still. And they want to feel better when in reality, you shouldn't want to feel better right now. You should actually go and like deal with the hurt of something so big happening. Like,
yeah, I think that's too one of those things where everyone, I would say grieves. I don't know if that's the right terminology.
That's the word.
Someone dying.
Are you telling me it's not grief when you lost, Ben? Wrestling or fighting?
Yeah, sure. That's fair. That's fair. Grief. Grief is a fair word then. Everyone does it a little differently. And yes, there's, I think to your point, there's some people who do what you do and, you know, they say, they want people to make them feel better. That's for sure. But who knows? Maybe that's their way to get over it. I'm not really sure.
What was your process?
Well, you know, I think, let's see, like my most devastating was probably the Olympics, right? Cause that was something I'd wanted to do my whole life and I lost and I wasn't really expecting it. And I don't know. I probably went and cried for a while. And then I think I went out to eat lunch or something with my, it was girlfriend, now wife. And yeah, I think that was it. I didn't really want to be around any of the wrestling people because I still want to talk about it, I think. I don't know.
That was it?
That was it. I mean, to my memory, that's it.
I remember when I lost in the Olympic semifinals in 2004 and I went back to the room and or to this house that we all had rented and Jackson and them were like, you just got to reset the focus. You got to get ready. Go get that bronze medal. And I'm like, I didn't come here for bronze. Fuck that bronze medal. I don't want that shit. And I went wrestling and I lost. And now I'm thinking to myself, I wanted that bronze medal, bro. Like, I wanted it.
Oh my God.
And I wanted it.
And of course you wanted it. It's a fucking Olympic medal, Daniel.
I know I wanted it. But that moment, I was like, I don't want that bronze medal. I came to win gold. Nothing else matters. It had been. They started like testing dudes and everybody was testing positive for steroids. And they went all the way back to 2005.
Wait, did you get moved up to bronze or no?
No, because they went to 2005. I was like, one more year.
I got moved up two spots in 2008 because two people above me tested positive.
Dude, I was like, if they could just go back to 4 and just mailed me my Olympic medal, I would have taken it and worn it proudly, dude. I'd have been so happy.
Who finished above you? Because
it was Gusalov, Haydari, and
Haydari would have tested for sure.
It was Gusalov, Haydari, and this Uzbekistan dude that just came out of nowhere.
Oh, he was probably using also.
Hey, what if I would have got silver? I could have been a silver medalist, all things considered. But I will stay as I am, the guy that got fourth place, because it's on brand for me, right? You don't win first, get second, or you get fourth. So I just kind of want to stay on brand. All right, before I let you go, Ben, a lot of fights got announced. Your boy Chandler finally gets his fight.
Finally!
Hey, bro, about that. But then I heard something that said the contract is still not signed.
Oh, my goodness.
They said there's no deal in place, but we're hoping it's June 29th.
Yeah, that's been, you said something earlier about theater. That has been theater. That has been a drama of getting that bout scheduled and on the calendar. It appears to be on the calendar. You're saying maybe not. It's taking it long enough. Hope it happens. It'll be a big fight. And, honestly, it does make me nervous. It's 2.5 months away, but it's like, you know, an injury or a sit, you know, like I feel like a lot can still happen in 2.5 months. Like, it's almost one of those where you don't want to believe it till they're actually like walking to the cage or maybe after they weigh in, and then you're like, okay, now we got it.
Ben, do you think that Michael Chandler has overvalued this fight a little bit? Because now he makes a lot of money, right? He could have fought 2 to 3 times by the time this fight takes place. Is he going to make 3 times the money for this fight, or is he essentially going to just break even now because he's been sitting on the shelf for so long that he was missing money?
Well, I don't know. I don't know his contract, so I can't comment on that. But I also think it's highly dependent on the outcome. You know, if he loses, and honestly, the loser of this fight is going to get knocked out, right? This is not going to a decision. That is not happening. So if he loses, probably not all that great of a decision. You know, Conor's not even ranked right now. He goes down. And to your point, he could have fought more and made more money. If he wins, then I think that could propel him to, you know, a bigger contract in the future, more money, et cetera, et cetera. But he's another one. I think he actually turns 38 next week. So, does he get pay-per-view points? That, you know, that's one.
That's the question.
Dana doesn't like giving that out, so maybe not. Maybe that's why he's waiting so long. I don't know. So, man, I think it's too hard to say. There's too many variables at this point.
I don't know why you would give pay-per-view points to someone that's not going to drive the sales. Like, and it's not me hating on Mike.
He is exciting, but I see your point.
He's not driving the sales on this one, right? When you fight Conor McGregor, Conor's driving the sales. He's obviously going to be a part of the pay-per-view and part of the business, but very rarely.
Can I push back here real quick on you? It would, and this, I feel like I'd make people mad at me, but I feel like Michael is a very compelling opponent for Conor right now, and we know that someone's likely to get knocked out, as opposed to, like, remember when he fought Cerrone and everyone's like, they just want to give him an easy one kind of thing? Like, I feel like the compelling opponent is relevant.
Yes, because Mike's still ranked in the top five or six in the world. So, of course, he's compelling. But ultimately, this one feels like it's about McGregor. And part of that reason is because Conor continues to tell you how he's making all these decisions and essentially telling Mike, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, which would make the fight being at 170, though. Mike said he did it because he wants Conor at his best.
Yeah. I don't see any problem with 170. I think they're both, if they're both, you said most competitive weights, I think their most competitive weight is both 155. And if they both don't want to cut a lot of weight and they want to feel good and do a lot of promotion, then 170 is probably best.
That's probably going to be the biggest fight card outside of UFC 300.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to jump back there for a second. When talking about Conor McGregor, we have seen him at times do things that are so outstanding, but when he hurt someone, right? When he hurt Jose Aldo and knocked him forward, he jumped on him and he finished.
Yeah.
When he hurt Chad Mendez, he never searches for the big moment, and most don't. Bro, the other day, Jalen Turner is fighting against Renato Moicano. You remember that fight? Did you watch the prelims?
I did not watch that one, except we love Moicano. Moicano loves Bitcoin, and he loves hard money, and he loves Austrian economics. What a hero.
You love Mike Connolly. He's like, his rebirth has been the craziest thing ever. He goes, awesome. I have my new podcast on Monday. You know who my guest is? Joe Rogan. He didn't ask Rogan to go on his podcast. He made Rogan go on his podcast.
So great.
But Jalen Turner drops him.
Yeah.
First round. Fight looks like it's over. 10 seconds left. $300,000 bonuses. No way to really guarantee that, but having that great oh shit moment. He doesn't jump on him to finish, man. Renato Moicano gets up and ultimately submits him. What do you think of these kids trying to create those types of things? Because you remember Mark Hunt used to do it all the time? And we always talk about how Mark Hunt would just hit a dude and walk past him and the dude's like on the ground.
Yeah.
What do you think of these kids trying to make these moments opposed to just fighting, man? You got to just fight, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would say just fight. Yes, if you do not take the... If you don't take that when it's there, then it may not be there again. And you know, then the fight might go the other way, to your point.
And that's exactly what happened.
Take it.
How do you live with that?
That you live with the regret of that for a long time.
You know what somebody was talking to me about yesterday was Ben asking, they go, was that the first time Ben lost to Masvidal? You've only lost two MMA fights, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
That boy had a fucking record. You were a bad boy, weren't you, Ben?
I wish I would have got my opportunity to fight the better guys while I was younger and healthier. That would have been really ideal. So
yeah, you did good though.
Thanks,
you did
buddy.
Good. You did good, my man. All right, guys, let me let Ben Askren go.
Next week in Vegas, I will see you.
Yes, yes. Hey, how many kids are you taking?
I have like 50. I don't know.
You're taking 50 kids to Vegas.
I don't know how many. Well, I don't have any count. It's just like
good ones.
Coach, whoever shows up.
All you good ones,
of course. Yeah,
Marisolas.
Yeah, of course.
Wow. I'm not taking Merrill.
Why not?
I don't know, man. He got hurt a little bit in the season, and he hasn't really been. You know how some kids just decide it's time for college? That's where he's at. Mm. That's where he's at. When I really feel like he should be wrestling. So
yeah.
It is what it is. I'll be there, though.
Well,
Ben,
I'll see you there.
Thank you, man, again for joining. We appreciate it. Guys, that's Ben Askren. I'm Daniel Cormier. Until next time, peace.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.